Good morning, Southern Arizona. We are here with our American Southwest Credit Union podcast. Today we're interviewing Randy Graff from the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. Welcome to Green Valley and Sarita.
And Sarita, yeah. We don't want to forget Sarita, up and coming town. Randy, you have been here for how many years?
My family and I originally moved to Green Valley back in 1984. I was in the golf business at the time, and a new golf course, Canoe Hills Golf Course, was opening up at that time. And well, at that time, Green Valley was a community of about 10,000 people. Sarita wasn't but a little community, not even a town at that time. So been here 36, going on 37 years, and seen a lot of growth.
Sarita really has grown. And what about the population of Green Valley has also grown?
Yeah, Green Valley right now, the population, well, it swells in the wintertime, obviously, with the snowbirds. But I think we're in the neighborhood of 27, 28,000 population, somewhere between 25 and 30. And then the town of Sarita is at another 30. So the combined communities here closing in on 60,000
people. Wow. Yeah. What kind of changes in demographics have you seen throughout the community? It seems to me with Sarita growing, it is kind of a younger population because of the Sarita Lake and all of the community developments there. Is that a fair assessment? Or
yeah, Green Valley started out in the 60s as a premier retirement community. You know, the population in Green Valley historically, I mean, the median age it was like 72. Sarita was basically a rural setting. The town of Sarita incorporated in 1994 and has built up dramatically with Bob Sharp and his company, Master Plan Community. They built the Sarita Lake and building the homes around there. And like I said, their population now is about 30,000. They did come down and incorporate Quail Creek and La Posada, which are, you know, age-restricted areas. It's a unique community with the two distinct lifestyles. They've grown together very, very, very well, and they feed off each other very nicely.
With increased population, of course, begets increased business, which is where the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce comes in. Your office is housed with the Office of Tourism, which I think is fabulous. So give us a little perspective on that.
Yeah, the Green Valley Chamber of Commerce got its start back in 1979. Some of the local business folks thought it was important to start up a chamber. Once the town of Sarita incorporated, we changed. We now do our DBA as the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce. We've got approximately 400 chamber members, some members out of Tucson, all the way down to Nogales, Sonora. We've got everything from home-based single-person businesses to Freeport-McMoRan, Caterpillar, some of the major corporations in this country as members. We've got a nice lobby out front where we keep a lot of information, try to keep it stocked. In 2019, we had nearly 8,000 people come through our doors.
Nice.
So it's a good draw for people coming into the community. Maybe, you know, just first time coming through traveling and getting information on Green Valley and Sarita. For snowbirds that are coming down here and maybe renting a rental property for a month or 3 months or 6 months, you know, we got a lot of information on the community. Our member businesses, all of our services and retail shops and whatnot can put their information out there. We got an area that our members can put their brochures and business cards, and we got a very active website with our member directory and a lot of tourist information. And then we get a lot of calls from all over the country requesting information. We're a well-rounded shop here that takes care of a lot of different constituencies.
So with all the increase in traffic and increased population size, and being that you're so nicely situated with the Office of Tourism, as far as the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce, what is your mission statement for the businesses that you serve?
Well, we believe a strong community has to have a strong business community. And so our mission statement is about our businesses and our community prospering together. Our chamber board about 3 years ago went through a strategic planning process and tried to lay the foundation for where this chamber was going over the next 10 to 20 years. Chambers are changing. You know, we used to be networking events And we still do some of that, we're trying to become a little bit more of a resource for our members in particular. We didn't believe enough of our members considered the chamber to be a resource if they were having a problem. You know, I like to say, somebody is good at growing flowers and they decide to open a flower shop. Does that mean that they're an expert in accounting and HR, marketing?
They have to know it all.
You have to be sort of a jack of all trades. And we put together our GVS Leads program out of our strategic plan and these interviews, focus groups, trying to find out what should the chamber be doing for our membership. And we came up with our GVS Leads program where we brought on when other chambers were furloughing people a year ago due to the pandemic and things were shutting down. We actually brought another staff person on to be our GVS Leads coordinator. Chelsea Morningstar came in and was our point of contact for our membership, started reaching out to our members. We set up our subject matter experts, so we've got chamber members that have stepped forward that said, "Yeah, I want to be part of this and help support our other chamber members." So we've got subject matter experts in all these various areas. Like we've got an accountant, we've got a lawyer for legal questions, we've got an expert in social media and marketing issues. Even mental health. You're working from home, you don't have that social interaction. So we've got a whole host of subject matter experts that are willing to put in a little time. The GVS Leads program, we also have core value assessment software. Members can do basically a half hour interview, answer about 18 questions, and get a good snapshot of where their business is and where they might have issues. We're meeting with our restaurant owners and helping guide them through the state grant program. Restaurants can get a $10,000 grant to help them with outdoor seating if they need supplies,
right,
and things like that. If we can be that resource for them, we want to be front and center in there.
And what's your main area of outreach to your members? Through email? Do you call? Do you newsletter, or is it just simply someone who calls, "Hey, I'm having issues, can you assist?"
A little bit of all of the above. We have a weekly email newsletter that goes out that we can certainly make sure the membership knows the different tools that we have available, the different webinars and Zoom conferences that on topics. But we do have the weekly email newsletter that goes out. We have a once every 2 months, we have our Green Valley Cerrito Chamber of Commerce Activity Guide. It's sort of a newspaper inserted into the local Green Valley News and Cerrito Sun newspapers. So it's our little newspaper inside the newspaper that keeps the community up to speed on what we're doing here at the chamber and new members and ribbon cuttings and things like that. And then we have our annual magazine, our Inside Green Valley Cerrito magazine that comes out generally in October every year. That just highlights all the different things going on in the community. Our member directory is listed in the back of that, and we'll generally get about 5,000 copies of those, keep them in all the hotels and have them available here at the visitor center for people to pick up, so we have ways of distributing them in the community. And then our website. We developed a new website earlier last year. Early last year, we developed a new website that I think is much more robust than what we had in the past. And our member directory is something unique. Instead of just a list of all of our members and their names, addresses, and phone numbers with maybe a couple sentences or a short paragraph about what they do, every member in the member directory has a marketing landing page. It's almost like a mini website. It has a lot of information from their website. It'll link to their website. But most of the information they have is available right there in our member directory. They also have access now to a mobile app. And so every member, if you look up in our member directory on a mobile device, their landing page comes up as a mobile app that you can literally download to your phone. So our members can download their mobile app onto their cell phone, and when they got a customer or a potential customer, they can share that mobile app with them so that they'll have all their contact information right at their fingertips. So.
And I think the phone calls are particularly important because it's one thing to send out an email, but being a past business owner, I know that getting an email and actually having time to read it are two different things. And the added difficulty in sometimes being a business owner, you're completely overwhelmed with the amount of things that have to be done, and you're so used to doing it yourself. When somebody asks you, what can we help you with? The words don't come. And maybe having someone on the other end of the line to walk you through a few preliminary questions to kind of extract that information from you, to really get a bigger picture of what they're struggling with is
you
important.
You are so right on that. I mean, our newsletter goes out to roughly 500 people. If you get a 30% open rate, which is about what we get, that's pretty strong. There's a lot of emails that you talk to folks, and the average is much less than that. Business owners are extremely busy, and so you can understand that a little bit. So we have to reach out in numerous ways. So it's on the website, by email, direct phone calls.
Right.
There's a lot of things you have to do to...
I'm curious to know whether the printed publications... I'm back a few subjects, but... whether the printed publications, are they available on your website as PDFs as well?
We do have them available on our website as PDFs, so people can download our activity guide that comes out every 2 months. They can download our Inside Green Valley Street of Magazine.
Well, and I think
they
too,
still like the maps. AAA is one of our members,
right.
And we got a lot of maps here, and people still like to open up a map and see it that way instead of Googling Google Maps.
Well, I have to say, you know, getting back to the busy business owner, when I pick up a paper magazine and I'm flipping through it, I almost feel like it doesn't matter what I'm reading, whether I'm doing research or not, it feels more relaxing. It feels like a little 5-minute break, whereas opposed to if I'm picking up my phone or my computer and I'm Googling it or looking at it online, then I feel like I'm doing research. So maybe it's a little bit of a mental break to have that paper copy as well.
I would agree. I mean, you know.
One of the things that I find interesting about Chamber of Commerce organizations is the relationship between chambers and government policy making. Do you have systems in place within the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce to meet with policymakers and kind of give them your opinions, input, to sort of drive policy toward a more business pro?
Chambers of Commerce, we're a 501c6 business association. So we can play in politics a little bit, and you've got some chambers, the bigger chambers, you know, the Arizona Chamber, the Phoenix Chamber, the Tucson Chamber, actually, a lot of them have full-time government relations folks on there. That's all they do. They track legislation. They're meeting with the county and the city and the state on legislation. We get a lot of that information. And I come from a background, I was in the state legislature 2001 to 2004. So that's an area that I think from an advocacy standpoint for the chamber, we can be an advocate for the business community. And, you know, if the old saying, you know, if you're not at the dinner table, you may be on the menu. You do have to play in that lane a little bit and
right.
Make sure that policymakers know what's going on. So we've got a great relationship with the town of Sarita here. The town of Sarita is very business friendly. They get a business license in the town of Sarita, no cost.
Just register.
As a matter of fact, Victor Gonzalez, our economic development director, serves on our chamber board, and we've got a great relationship with them. And right now, it's liability protection
for COVID
issues mm-hmm. is a thing that we're trying to get. This latest round of the Paycheck Protection Program funding. The first round last year, 501c6 as chambers were not eligible to participate in the Paycheck Protection Program
right.
funding. So there was a lot of lobbying, a lot of interaction saying you allowed 501c3s, 501c, I believe it were 19s were allowed, but 501c6s and some of the others weren't. So this latest round that is open now was opened up to 501c6s, so chambers can take advantage of that. You know, they've been hit like a lot of other businesses. We're a business, like any other business.
And an important role supporting other businesses.
And supporting the business community. We've been relatively fortunate here in the state of Arizona. The governor, while we haven't had some of the lockdowns like some states have, there's been some challenges, obviously, for certain industries, but the governor did put out some grants for chambers to help businesses specifically dealing with the COVID, and we were fortunate enough to receive some of that grant funding. All the tools that are available that we're trying to take advantage of to help our business community stay strong is important to the community as a whole.
Great. So in closing, is there anything you want to impart to your members, the community?
You know, like I said, I've been here since 84, seen this community grow a lot. It's a great community. I used to think when I was old enough to live anywhere in Green Valley, it might be time to move on. But I'm now old enough to live anywhere in Green Valley.
And you don't want to live
anywhere. I ain't going anywhere. It's a great area. Southern Arizona is a great place to be, particularly when you see the snowstorms back east. My home state of Wisconsin, they can have their winters. So we encourage people to come on down, check out our community. Go to our website, greenvalleysarita.com. And if you can't find how Sarita is spelled, S-A-H-U-A-R-I-T-A.
Randy, thanks for taking the time to meet with me and doing the podcast. I think people are going to really enjoy it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kristen.